So today's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the second chapter of James, reading verses 14 through 19. James 2:14 through 19. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says that he or she has faith but not have works? Can that faith save? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. But show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, and you do well. But even the demons believe that, and they shudder. This is God's word to us this morning, and to the Lord be the praise and the glory forever. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. We all know this, don't we? Yeah. I found this to be very true in my life. I suspect that this is why a lot of our news publications rely on editorial cartoons to make a point about the news of the day or about the absurdities of human nature in general. And I know in British publications there's been a plethora of editorial cartoons about the ongoings at number 10 recently, have there not? So a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, I recently came across an editorial cartoon in the publication of Christianity Today. And this cartoon featured a church with a lovely steeple and a lovely property with a large reader board out front of the church. You can picture this, yeah? And out front, the reader board had the following greeting on it. Welcome to the Light Church, L-I-T-E, the Light Church. 24% fewer commandments, 8-minute sermons, 30-minute worship services, right? You pick which commandments to follow. Everything you've wanted in a church and even less, right? I won't ask if people approve of that message or not. But as funny as it might sound, I think this sort of thinking is perhaps a bit more subtly, but still quite prevalent in the church today, especially in consumer-driven societies like the UK and the USA. We often lead such busy lives that we struggle to fit worship and faith into our weekly rhythms. And we all face pressure, pastors very much included, to cut spiritual corners. And yet we also hope to have a faith that is robust enough to sustain us in every season of life. Now, as understandable as such an approach might be, there's just one glaring problem to cutting spiritual corners and trying to have a robust faith. What's the one problem? Anybody guess? It doesn't work. At the risk of being blunt, if there is no real transformation, if there's no awakening of the soul, if there's no feeding of the mind, no opening of the heart, no true commitment, then there won't be any real transformative faith. To be clear, this is not a new issue in the church. In fact, I think the issue of trying to cut corners, to do less while getting the same out of it, this is a central issue that's been around forever, and it's central to the text from James's letter that we heard today. Now, as we've heard during the last few weeks of our online services, or pajama church, as I call it, the letter of James has a lot in common with the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Both books are direct, to the point, and if we're honest, they're rather unsparing of the reader's feelings. For James, there is simply too much at stake to avoid the hard issues that Christians encounter in their discipleship to Jesus Christ. And this brings us to today's passage that we heard a few moments ago, which deals directly with the relationship between our faith and our works. Or to use another phrase, our faith and how we live it out. Now, those of us who worship within the Protestant tradition, and that's all of us here, obviously, those who worship within the Protestant tradition, we sometimes have a bit of an allergic reaction to any discussion of works as a part of our faith. And this is because one of the core tenets of the Reformation, you know that little event that happened about 505 years ago? One of the core tenets is that we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. No human effort can ever save us. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is utterly free, unmerited. It is not conditioned by what we do. That was the basic rallying cry of the Reformation, and it continues to be so today. And to all this, I think we can say a hearty amen. Salvation is free, unmerited. What a gift! And I think James would say amen as well. But if James would affirm these things, that salvation is a free gift, why does he spend so much time talking about faith and works? Why not just talk about faith and be done with it? Well, I think the reason why James is talking about faith and works is because he is talking about how we live as Christians after we have come to faith in Jesus. He's talking about how we live as Christians after we've come to faith in Jesus. So with this in mind, we can jump into the text. In verse 14, James starts his treatment of faith and works with two rhetorical questions. He asks first, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says, 'I have faith, but I do not, but does not have works?'" And then he asks, "Can that faith save him?" And I think the answer to the second rhetorical question is no. To drive home the force of his rhetorical questions, James uses what I think is a startling illustration in verses 15 through 17, where he said, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by works, is dead." Isn't that a shocking picture? Christians gathered together for worship, and we know from the history of the early church that when Christians gathered for worship, they didn't just sing songs and pray. What else did they do together? They ate, and not just the little wafer and the little cup. They had a proper meal. It was holistic fellowship. And he's saying, in this context, if your belly is full and you see someone starving, and you just say, "Hope you're going to be okay," and carry on your merry way, what good is that? That's the picture he's painting here, right? And we see, I hope, the staggering disconnect between belief and action here. In other realms of human life, especially realms like politics and whatnot, some measure of hypocrisy might be typical and even expected. It's different. It's different when it comes to the lives of Christians and the collective life of the church. For James, a disconnect between faith and works is intolerable. And he isn't alone in this either. The Apostle John affirms a similar teaching in the first letter to 1 John chapter 3. When he says, "If anyone has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, yet closes his heart against him." Isn't that vivid language? Closing your heart against someone. How does God's love abide in him? Little children, John says, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And even more importantly, Jesus also teaches us the same truth. In his Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, Matthew 7, he says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears what? Bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. You will recognize them by their fruits, Jesus says. So Scripture seems to be unanimous on this point. The true faith, must be joined with compassion and with action. Last week, I read about an old story about an English preacher. Right? I picture a circuit rider in the Wesleyan tradition who came across a friend whose horse had died in an accident. Right? You can picture the scene. Came across his friend whose horse had died in an accident. There was a crowd gathered around the scene of the accident, and nearly everyone had looks of concern. Many people spoke words of sympathy. And after listening to the crowd express its sympathy, the preacher stepped forward and said, I'm sorry, 50 pounds. I'm sorry, 50 pounds. He looked at the crowd and said, how much are you sorry? And he passed his hat around. True faith must be joined with compassion and with action. There's no avoiding that this text from James is a sobering text. And to be clear, I'm not here to judge anybody, especially since I feel just as challenged by this text as anyone else. But I am here to say that this text from James is calling each of us to take an honest look at the health of our faith. If we find we're quick to affirm our faith, but we don't live it out, we struggle to live it out, James is suggesting we might be in some real spiritual trouble. In the words of biblical scholar Kent Hughes, if we refuse to get our hands dirty, or if we are cheap and grudging with other people, we must take inventory of our souls. Continuing in verse 18 of the text, James responds to what is essentially a laissez-faire, I'm okay, you're okay mentality about faith and works. In this verse, James presents an imaginary objector who says, okay, you have faith and I have works. We're both Christians. We have just different emphases. What's the big deal? Why can't we just live and let live? And in response to this, James goes nuclear. He really, really does. In verses 18 through 20, after listening to this hypothetical, he says, you show me your faith apart from your works. I show you my faith by my works. You have the right beliefs. You believe that God is one. And that's fine. You do well. Guess what, he says. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. With these words, James obliterates faith separated from action. He even makes the point that even the full powers of hell believe in God. They believe, they acknowledge that God exists. And what do? They what? They shudder. And the word we translate as shudder, it literally means to bristle up like a cat, right? And so by using this example, James is telling us, warning us, that it's possible to have a type of belief that is not true faith. Again, from Kent Hughes, real faith is more than mental assent to a truth. It's more than mental assent to a truth. That's part of it. But if it stops there, oh my. Real faith involves the heart and our whole selves. Real faith will address every part of our lives. Real faith will free every part of us to follow Jesus. and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So I think the point of this text is clear, that as Christians, our faith must be joined with action. It isn't our actions that save us, never. We cannot save ourselves. Instead, our actions or our works, they show that Christ is alive and active in our lives. And in this way, faith and works go together. Faith and works go together. As a friend of mine was fond of saying to me in my formative years growing up, let your actions match your values. That's what James is going after here. Let your faith match up with how you live your lives. Now, before we finish, I want to address one or two elephants in the room about this passage. If you've sat here or listened online to James's teaching about faith and works and find yourself worried that your faith isn't showing in your life or isn't showing as much in your life, if you feel worried about this, I want to say, praise God for your sense of worry. Praise God for your sense of worry. Because the very fact that you are worried about this shows, I think, that God is at work in your life. Now, on a related note, if you're listening to this and thinking, my faith shows in many parts of my life, but not in all of them. If that's how you're feeling today, I want to say welcome to the family of the church. None of us are perfect. None of us are complete. We are all works in progress. In this teaching on faith and works, James is giving us a vision of fullness of life in Christ. He's showing us what God wants for every believer, a life fully claimed by Jesus Christ. And such a life can only happen when God gives us the grace and the strength, when God gives us the grace and the strength to make our faith match with our actions. So may we take these words of James to heart today. Faith without works is dead. But let's remember the other truth, the mirrored truth of this statement, that faith with works is alive, active, healing, transformative, hopeful, redeeming, all of these things. May our faith truly be seen in how we live our lives. Let's ask God to make it happen for each of us. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for this teaching from the book of James. Thank you for reminding us that our faith must be joined with action. As we go into another week, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would deepen our faith and make it flow into every part of our lives. Make our faith flow into our homes. Make it flow into our work. Make it flow into our friendships. Give us the grace we need to show our faith in every part of our lives so that we may bring true glory to you, Father. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.